RTI.
Welcome back to Postcard Part 2 from Poprad, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Nice to have your company on what we are enjoying as a 30 degrees plus, which means over 90 degrees if you're in old money, and bright blue sky, sunshine, and my arms burn at the thought of going outside. It's that hot. Lee Banks over there in the UK, he's sweltering not in the rain.
No, we are in Baked Bean Beam City.
It's all windy.
Yeah, honestly,
you're in terrible. Chicago then, boy, the windy city.
I wish I was. I love Chicago.
Do you? Chicago, that wonderful town. Never was much good at singing, was I?
Yeah, should we do the world's saddest songs on the back of that?
The world's saddest song?
Yeah.
Well, that's easy. That's easy. It's any country record.
There are those plumes of dust coming down the vista of that joke.
Was there? How do you make a happy country and western song?
There are some, you know. Well, you know what? I am amazed.
Just get an old vinyl record player.
Oh, right.
Get a vinyl track on and play the track backwards. And everything's marvellous. Your kids don't die, the dog's all right, you don't get your car crash, the wife doesn't leave you. It's wonderful.
You're such a technical Johnny. know what you mean. Yeah, no, see, what's missing from this list? Well, there's loads of them. I think this list is ridiculous. But like, what about Old Shep? That's a country music song, and that's all about tragedy and losing your dog.
Have you ever heard of Old Shep?
No.
No. So young people have never heard of things like that.
Sorry, you're old.
Don't apologise. It's a rubbish record.
Old Shep is a rubbish record.
Yes.
This is that they are right now. This is the world's saddest song according to these are music critics chose these music critics blogspot. They're quite well known people, right? Here's the first one. Number one. He Stopped Loving Her Today by George Jones. Now, even I must admit I do know that song, but I could accept that a lot of people might not.
I've never heard of him.
Oh, we're just a philistine. The End of the World, Skeeter Davis.
Pass.
Last Kiss, Frank Wilson. Tears in Heaven, Eric Clapton. They're all rubbish. Do you know what the saddest song in the world is?
Go on.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Puff the Magic Dragon, live by the sea,
and frolic in the autumn mist,
in a land called Lanali.
Little Jackie Paper, love that rascal.
We used to get, this was on the kids' programme on the BBC when we weren't allowed ordinary radio, because we're only allowed to listen to the BBC, and they used to have Children's Hour once a week. And it was always the same stupid music. But if you were very lucky, they played one pop track.
Yeah, that's right.
That was the freedom of England.
You realise, honestly, I am now in my early 40s. And,
you remember what you were just saying about the internet and lies, Lee?
Yeah. What?
Bing! Bing!
Bing! Maybe I'm not in the early 40s, I might be in my mid-40s. And I have still never ever been able to listen to Puff the Magic Dragon all the way through without bursting into tears. This is the last verse of it. This is why it's the saddest song.
Yeah, go on then.
A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant rings make way for other toys. One grey night it happened. Jackie Paper came no more, and Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar.
Oh.
His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. With his life unfriend, Puff could not be brave, so Puff that mighty dragon sadly slipped into his cave.
Oh, dear.
There.
Yes. There is a consolation prize to the world moving on. And I think that's one of them.
All right, then. Should we do...
hang on. No. Actually, just do me a favour. Can you run down... How many is in the... Is it a top 10 you've got?
Yeah, I did it while you were listening.
No, you didn't do all 10. We'll just do a quick yes or no, whether Kate and I know the people. So just run down your list.
Number one. George Jones, he stopped loving her today. I could sing that.
Pass.
No.
Pass. Right, number two.
The end of the world, Skeeter Davis.
Pass.
No.
Pass.
I could do that. The end of the world as we know it. Right, Last Kiss by Frank Wilson.
Pass.
Of no. Pearl Jam. Oh, you've never heard of Pearl Jam.
Oh. Yeah, I know Pearl Jam, but just...
Yeah, I've never heard of the track.
Of course you do, yeah. Of course you do, Silly Billy.
Yes.
Right, Tears in Heaven, Eric Clapton.
Of course.
Of course, yes.
Along Again, naturally, by Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
I can't believe this list. This is a shameful list. Concrete Angel by Martina McBride. Now, who's that?
She's an actress.
I've never
heard of her. Yeah,
I'll Be There, Escape Club.
Yes.
No.
Well,
no.
Who's Martina McBride, then?
I thought Martina McBride was in
You're thinking of Martina Escutcheon.
No, wasn't she an actress, Martina McBride?
Eh?
I don't know. Well, somebody will tell us. Somebody email in and tell us. Yeah. Next.
All right. Send In the Clowns by Judy Collins.
Oh, I know that.
No, I don't.
Send In the Clowns. Yeah. Very, very sort of, it's a bit morose. Yes.
Right, nine. The End of the Road by Boys to Men. It actually says Boys 11 Men, but I think that's supposed to be a 10.
No, it's Boys to Men.
That's what I said.
That's all
right. Right, Hurt So Bad by Little Anthony and the Imperials.
No, who was... Hurt So Bad. Susan Cadogan did it in the 70s as a sort of reggae track. Same thing.
Linda Ronstadt did it as well.
Yeah. And Susan Cadogan's version was quite good, but that was the reggae track.
Those are not the world's saddest songs, are they?
Well, yes. Well,
what about Leader of the Pack?
Brum, 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 brum.
Is she really going out with him? Well,
uh-huh.
There she is. Let's ask her.
You don't remember that either, do you?
No.
Early 60s.
No.
Shangri-Las. It was. Yeah. It was the Shangri-Las. And he's the leader of the pack. Go on, what else have you got?
We're always putting him down.
Down. This is rubbish.
What is
this? Our singing is rubbish.
Yeah, I know. That's been the bane of my life. I could have been a really famous rock star if I was able to sing.
Yeah, go on, next.
We could do the Dutch Cab, A Grave Crisis.
No. Actually, do you know, you just reminded me of something. Kenny Everett, who was a very famous comedic DJ, did the world's worst records. And I must look up the list of it.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and there was one about somebody having an accident. And
there's a bit over there and over there and over there.
And I found my baby over there and over there and over there. And then there's the rain and the thunders. And then you hear this sound of somebody digging a hole. And he's opening up the hole where the grave is, opening up the coffin that the girl's in. And he said, I got my baby back. I love her all so much. There you go.
That was brilliant. If there's anybody out there who's got a copy of it, let me know, because I'll give you a fortune. I'd love to.
And it was the track was actually called I Want My Baby Back. And it was all about a car crash. That was
that
a brilliant...
one about the tree? See the tree, how big it's grown.
See the tree, how big it's grown. My friends, it hasn't been too long. It wasn't big. That's some Seasons in the Sun.
No, it's not, you big girl.
Isn't it?
It's about it's a girl's name, and she's died, and he's looking at the tree that they grew when she was alive, and it reminds
him. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, see the tree, how big it's grown.
It wasn't big. Yeah, so we're close.
It wasn't big.
This is a rubbish radio programme.
Should we do a Dutch Cab for Grey?
No.
Shall we do the man who leaps out, who's going to leap from outer space?
What?
This is incredible.
It's lunacy.
I know why we can't do the dead Dutch people.
You can't. Is this a story you got off the internet?
Well, you know, this has come from the EU Commission.
Oh, right.
Which story are you talking about? The bloke is jumping out off the moon.
Yes.
Well, this is a bloke, right? I think this is brilliant, and more power to his elbow. He's actually doing it for an energy drink company. So it's a bit of a stunt, but what a stupid stunt this
careful,
is.
Careful,
really.
Careful, careful.
Yeah, he is jumping from the stratosphere,
mm-hmm.
which is 120,000 feet above the ground.
Right.
And it's going to come down at the speed of light until finally his parachute opens.
He'll burn up.
Well, that's why I think he must be in some sort of capsule. They can't just stick him there with his jacket on to keep him warm, can they?
I mean, if Kate was coming down like that, she'd melt.
Oh, why?
All the plastic bits.
Which bits? Oh, she's had a nose job, hasn't she?
Have you had a nose job?
No.
No? No, she hasn't.
Which bit's plastic then, Kate?
Well, I can't comment.
Well, neither can I.
Because I'm far too much of a gentleman.
And I'm over here, so I can say it.
Yeah. Yeah, monkey. I'll tell you what, we'll have to do that one. We should take nominations from people of the rubbishest song on the planet.
Yeah, rubbishest song.
And see what you think. Because, see, the funny thing is, I think some tracks that Lee loves are absolutely rubbish.
Like what?
Well, anything by Bob Dylan.
Oh, what a load of Nancy Boy nonsense.
Thank you.
Nonsense.
I'm not in prison yet. Thank you very much. Because
I think that's a good idea. I think we should do that. Yeah.
Because I'm sure.
Tell us what the worst songs are.
There's some songs that either a partner has driven you mad with. Because I can remember a partner of mine at one time was into Dolly Parton's song "Me and Little Andy," about a puppy dog that dies. And whenever she was sad, she'd play this thing. And I go, "Why on earth are you playing a song about death when you're fed up? Put something punchy and powerful on." But I don't know.
Yeah.
And the other one, what was it? Something Salisbury Hill. Was another
Salisbury
one.
Salisbury Hill?
Yeah, the song was called Salisbury
Hill. Oh, that was Peter What's It, wasn't it?
Yeah, from Genesis.
Yeah.
That's him.
That was a good song. Why, that wasn't rubbish. Why was that rubbish?
Well, it's because it would get played back to back, like 20 times in a row. I always knew if it was a bad day, because Salisbury Hill would be on as I parked the car out the front of the house. Guaranteed to be a bad night. There must be songs like that that drive you nuts, boys and girls. Let us know.
The most irritating song in the world, I would put Phil Collins at the top of that list. Anything by Phil Collins is designed to irritate and turn you into a crazed maniac.
Oh, well, actually, what was the song that he was taking the mickey out of the Bible Belt in America?
Who was?
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins.
In the 80s. It was I Can Dance. I Can Dance, that song. And
what was that? How do you know that about American...
Because it was in a big interview that he did for one of the magazines.
Oh, right.
There you go. Phil Collins. Oh, In the Air Tonight.
Phil Collins is a balding monkey.
The bit in the Air Tonight, he goes, and it just sort of builds up, and he goes, dum 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 in the middle of the song.
Anybody can do that with a drum machine.
You can't do it with a proper drum kit, though.
Yeah, he hasn't got a proper drum kit. He's got one of those little Woolworths ones that you bang and it makes a noise. It goes like, boom, like that. No. It's a plastic drum kit. That's all he deserves.
Actually, if you saw Phil Collins on one of his later tours, especially the Paris concert, you will notice there are two drum kits that play at the time.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Excuse me. I should have mentioned that my very self. You're quite right.
That's a brilliant song.
The world's daftest man.
Yes, go on then.
This is funny, right? This is funny, and this is a true story, right?
Hang on, I'll apologise to everybody in advance. Lee says, this is funny.
And it's true.
This
has to be the world's daftest man. And it'd be nice if our readers would write in to tell us of
Lee,
even daft...
Lee, continuity problem.
What have we done?
Well, when people listen to radio, they hear it. With their ears. They don't use their eyes to read it. You can't read radio.
No, I was being zany.
Ah.
And eccentric.
I thought you were nodding on the radio as well.
No, it was just about this personality that I've built up over the last 2 years. I was just as a sort of crazy person.
Right, carry on then.
Right, anyway, right. This bloke, whose name has completely escaped me now, Larry Webster, I think he was called. Anyway, mm-hmm. I can't remember. Right, he had a childhood dream that he wanted to be a pilot, you know, fly aeroplanes. And he tries to get in the Air Force and they turned him down because of his poor eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
So, when he was about 42... He had a brainwave, and I can't do it because my machine's just turned. There he is, was back there. So he went to his local Army and Navy store and bought 45 weather balloons and a big tin of helium, right?
Right.
His plan was, what he was going to do, he was going to tie his garden chair underneath these balloons and just float, say, 10 foot in the air above his garden and have a laugh with his neighbours about it.
Right.
Anyway, put 10 balloons on and it worked perfectly. It carried the chair up to about 10, 15 feet. So he thought, well, what I'll do, I'll put some more on to carry my weight as well. So this is where it got a bit silly because he put 40 balloons on.
Is this like the bloke who went across the English Channel recently?
Nothing like him.
Oh.
Absolutely nothing like him, right? It now starts,
oh.
Right? So he put 40 balloons on his chair, thinking he was going to float 10 foot above the ground. Actually, what happened was that he shot off like he'd been fired out of a cannon and went 3 miles up in the atmosphere.
He'd be dead.
He wasn't. He got a bag of cheese sandwiches, 6 cans of lager, and a pellet gun to shoot the balloons out so he could come down again. But he got an old jacket. He was a bit chilly, right? So he ended
this
up...
This is rubbish.
True story. This is true,
3 miles
honestly,
up, yeah, right.
Because he realised that if he started shooting the balloons 3 miles up in the air and he tilted the chair, he'd fall out. So he had to stay there. And he stayed up in the air for 12 hours.
Right.
Until, right, a passenger plane flew past him and saw him. They reported him to the airport authorities.
Right.
And they sent out the Air Force to check him out because he thought, because he got a gun and he got some sandwiches and a six pack of beer, that he might be a terrorist.
Lie. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the helicopter was there watching him for 15 minutes, right? Didn't think about going over and like bursting a few balloons so he could come down. They just sat there watching him, decided he was a nutter and flew off. But by this point, Larry had panicked.
Right.
So he thought, well, they could come back now and shoot me. So he started to shoot his balloons out, right? Took a chance. It worked perfectly because he started to come down until, right, he hit power lines. And the balloons wrapped themselves around the power lines, which completely blanked out Long Beach. All the power had gone.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, he became a celebrity. And this is the nub of the story. This is the tragedy of the whole thing. He thought he'd go and do another stunt, and he went out into Nevada desert, and he accidentally, right, shot himself dead.
No. Are we supposed to believe this?
That's true, honestly. Anybody, he's not called Larry what I said, he's called Larry Walters. Look it up on the internet.
Yeah, right. Look it up on the internet that we've just been hammering for telling lies. Marvellous, isn't it?
Absolutely. What about Paul the Octopus gets... citizenship in Spain.
Now somebody wants to buy him.
Yeah, but he'll give him citizenship. But what nobody's told the octopus is that where he's going, I can't find the name of the town, but the name of the town...
It's a restaurant.
He's famous for producing calamari. Galicia, it's called. Galicia.
Yes.
Yeah. And so they said, yeah, send us that clairvoyant octopus over here. We'll look after him.
I reckon somebody put something on the food so that he always went to the... I reckon somebody actually planned it right. And or, how do we know that it was filmed correctly?
Exactly. And he got 8 arms. He could have touched anything. He could have touched 8 different things. And he said, well, he's touched that one.
No, he went into a box. Did you not see it?
It was about football, so I didn't watch.
Yeah, I'm sure you can watch it on YouTube somewhere or other. but it's there's something not right about that. There's either some very clever trick photography or some very clever timed photography to go with food.
Are you saying that Paul the clairvoyant octopus isn't real?
No, I think he's real. I think there was a clever person sort of the... I mean, crikey, could you imagine if you'd have got, like, €1 or a dollar or a pound, got into one of the betting shops and run through all the answers that he had with the odds that you'd get? You'd be a millionaire now, wouldn't you?
Well, exactly, yeah. That's right. What? Now that's interesting, isn't it?
I wonder if it's a sort of like a bookies gambling thing or something.
Ooh.
Could be.
Ooh, sometimes that's a conspiracy theory.
No. It's actually sort of suggesting somebody's very clever.
That's a conspiracy.
Is it?
Suggest anybody's clever who's interested in... No, right,
let's
anyway,
stop it.
So that's... I never spoke. I never said a word.
So we haven't mentioned that, actually. We should say congratulations. Viva España, because of winning the World Cup.
Don't tell everybody. It's not until this weekend.
You're right. You're barking. You're barking. I just can't believe it. There's all these great sporting events on, and what does Lee do? Nothing.
I watch Come Dine With Me.
Yeah, Come Dine With Me. Was it good this week?
Well, Come Dine With Me. Is that Come Dine With Me has to be the best programme on television ever.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's unfair. Jeremy Clarkson and, in Top Gear is probably the best programme on television. Followed quite closely by Come Dine With Me, because it's universal. Everybody, for some inexplicable reason, watches Come Dine With Me.
Well, we have a slowback version of it as well.
I believe you do.
We
is
do.
It good?
It's actually quite funny. I think I'm one of the first programmes, although I wouldn't suggest the man was terribly photogenic, no offence. they could have got a better one. But to sort of celebrate the connection, they had this guy come on and cook roast beef and Yorkshire pudding and all the sort of Englishy food that went with it. And I'm afraid the Slovak people that were in the same show didn't like it very much.
Didn't they?
No. But I have to say, I've seen roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, and that didn't actually remind me of the real thing. But, you know, such is life. Each to their own.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Would you like to do another topic now from my... endless list of gorgeous,
gargantuan,
gorgeous, elegant stories.
Yeah, go on.
Do you know that there has been a thing carried out that proves that Essex girls are really a sure thing?
You're not being naughty about ladies and gentlemen, are you?
I'm not saying anything, mate. Uh-huh. I'm just reading from a survey.
Mate.
This is a public survey.
Did you see what you said? You see what you said, boys and girls? Mate, because everybody in Essex goes, all right, mate, or worse, so he drops the mate bit in, so you sound like an Essex person. Do you understand an Essex person?
Yeah.
Kate doesn't understand that. Essex girls are supposedly blonde, not so clever, and...
Available.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it, yeah. Like the plastic versions here.
Okay.
Yes, right.
I know what one. Well, anyway...
Colloquially known as a plastic lady.
A plastic lady.
Mm-hmm.
I've never. Right, forget that one.
Yes.
Anyway, no. This is a survey. This is proving what we have always known.
Right.
Girls from the Southeast County are the cheapest dates.
Oh right.
Survey reveals today.
Yeah.
Essex girls would happily split the bill.
Yes.
With a boyfriend.
Good for them.
Prefer to be taken out for a curry than a pricey meal.
Good idea.
And at the end of it. Are almost certain to sleep with their new partner after the first date.
Not so choosy then.
Hey, no, 22% of Essex girls would be happy with £20 being spent on them rather than 150 quid on a romantic meal, because they just want to get down to business, don't they?
Right.
Not business in that way.
No, absolutely. Just clarify that a bit.
Yes, exactly. Yes. No, I didn't. I mean, they just want to. They're loving, kind, horny people.
It doesn't say a lot for the boys, then, really, if they're that desperate, doesn't it?
What, desperate to go? What, you say you've got to be desperate to go with an Essex girl?
But,
yeah,
no,
you
boy.
Trouble,
I'll have these big, hefty Essex fellas flying out to Poprad to thump me or something, surely as well.
It's funny, I tell you, I don't understand this survey at all. With the greatest respect to all Essex girls, we're just having a little bit of a joke.
Yes.
But Mark Pearson, right, managing director of Groupola,
mm-hmm.
right, who commissioned this report,
mm-hmm.
then softens the blow. Why did I can't understand. If you're going to go for it, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it says it's endearing to discover that women wouldn't judge a man who just took her to a fast food burger bar.
Have well, a job to do that here, wouldn't they? Not many fast burger bars.
No, not really.
We don't have
burger bars.
Burger bars. We don't have that. Well, we do have one, don't we? There's one in the centre.
Yes,
in
there is.
Yes, yeah, the food's pretty good there.
There's all these classy restaurants around here, and he says
I think it's about burger bar.
There's a burger bar in the centre of Poprad, and he likes it. Fabulous.
It's lovely.
Is it?
There are some brilliant restaurants in Poprad. I love them all.
Yes.
I love that one in the centre, facing the square, that looks like a railway carriage inside. I think
Subway.
That's wonderful.
Subway.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be Subway.
Yes, it's definitely Subway.
Definitely Subway, yeah. Because it was...
The little wooden booths as you go in.
Yes.
Yeah, Subway, yes.
Subway, brilliant place. 1950s, come alive. Don't ever let Poprad take that away from itself. It is a fabulous retro restaurant.
He's off into one again, isn't he? He's off.
I calm down.
He's after a free dinner there. That's all it is.
Yeah, there's nothing like home-cooked meal.
Yes.
What's your favourite restaurant in Poprad, then?
What? Kate.
Mine?
I
love voice Kate.
it's this little pizza place. They make the best pizza in Poprad there. It's called Utopia.
Utopia? Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Yeah, Utopia's
That's not the American one, is it?
No. And they do absolutely amazing pastas and things there
amazing,
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, really are cool. Very Italian style as well.
The most amazing thing I had in Poprad as pizza-wise, I couldn't believe it. I had a pizza with a fried egg in the middle.
Yeah. And?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good Slovak phrase to go with that. Acho.
Acho.
And what?
Acho.
Actually, this is another true story, boys and girls. I was asked to go and collect a pizza from the local pizzeria, so I didn't want to have it delivered, so I thought, well, I'll go up there and get it. So I go through this whole mess of Sloglish, which is like Slovak and English mixed together, at which point this young lady smiles at me from behind the counter and goes, very good for trying, sir. Would you like to try in English now? Blast! You feel about an inch tall, don't you? It's unbelievable. You feel a total pillock. And it's like my boss sent me out to get some stuff the other night. So I go in there and I've been practicing it all the way in because it's a bit confusing what I want. And the girl said to me, not bad, actually. She said, you're pretty good with your grammar. Can you do a bit more practice? And she spoke in a London accent. Slovak girl, yeah. But she'd been living in England for about 8 years, all in London. And so she's picked up this very London accent. I was standing there going, why did I bother? What's the point?
You can speak Slovak quite well now.
Well, on that happy note, I think we'll say dovidenia then. Because it's time to go from postcard from Poprad, boys and girls. From me, Eric Wiltshire, and...
And from me, Lee G. Banks.
See you next week. Take care, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.